Goldman Sachs profits nearly double.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, welcome to the Morning Open. I'm Bill Radke. Wall Street titan Goldman Sachs said this morning its earnings jumped last quarter to $3.3 billion. The stock market is 20 minutes into its day. Where is Wall Street? The Dow is up. Let me get right to that screen. The Dow is up this morning. Well, we'll refresh that and find out. There it is. The Dow is up 12 points at 11,104, and that's about a tenth of a percent. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 are up around four-tenths of a percent now. Goldman Sachs shares are up three-quarters of a percent. More to say about that bank in a moment. Harley-Davidson up 7%, even though profits tanked last quarter. People are just not in the open road-tripping mood, but analysts thought that profits at Harley-Davidson would fall even more than they did. The luxury handbag maker Coach said this morning earnings were up a third over last year. That stock is up almost 2%. Stocks in Asia were up today, and in Europe, the German luxury car maker Daimler doubled the profit outlook for its Mercedes-Benz unit, and European shares are up more than 1%. Okay, let's say hello to financial analyst Julie Nieman of Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live from St. Louis. Morning, Julie.
Morning, Bill.
So, Goldman Sachs made more than $3 billion last quarter. That was well above the analyst's forecasts. Its stock is up. Good news?
Well, Bill, Goldman wishes to thank the American taxpayer for their enormously kind support during these extremely trying times.
Well, but I should say, for those who don't know, the SEC is looking into whether Goldman defrauded some investors on those risky mortgage-backed securities. Goldman says it did not commit fraud. But either way, Julie, Goldman stock is up, and stocks in general have been giving us a big thumbs up lately. Aren't the markets telling us that the economy is rebounding strongly?
Well, there are earnings recovery, but it's Wall Street's recovery, and it's mostly in the financials. Now, part of its real revenue growth, most is accounting reversals, known as Christmas accounting, and cost-cutting. It's not signaling real growth yet. The real V-shaped recovery that we're looking at right now is in the stock market, in the earnings and the financials, and it's all stimulus-related. It's not in the broader economy yet.
You're not convinced. Well, let me ask you about financial reform. Legislation to fix our system will come to the Senate floor this week. If we tighten up some of the risky and secretive trading that went on, does that solve our problems?
Well, all this so-called financial innovation just sprinted ahead of laws needed to control all the fraud and manipulation. Now, all of those financial instruments that they created are like insurance contracts. There has to be disclosure, transparency, conflicts of interest, and open market trading. That sunshine sanitizes. So this is a very good first step for reform.
Julie Nieman joins us from Smith Moore & Company. Thank you, Julie.
You bet.
The big guns behind Facebook, the social networking site, are getting together this week with developers from other websites. This is at the company's annual conference in San Francisco. Facebook is expected to unveil some new tools for its users, and Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports the goal is to make the social network more a part of daily life.
Okay. Say you're on a site like Marketplace.org. You hear a story you like by, say, me. Before you can share it with your friends, you have to sign back onto Facebook.com. Market researcher Justin Smith says Facebook might make that process more automatic. And there's more.
The rumor is that they're going to expand this to the rest of the web so that you can say, I like this website or I like this publisher, and I'd like to continue to get updates from them inside Facebook, even though this website doesn't live inside Facebook.
That's a lot of information sharing, and it could bring with it profitable targeted ads. Augie Ray is with Forrester Research.
Because the more relevant you are, the more welcome the advertising is by consumers, and the more valuable it is to advertisers who will pay more for that.
Only problem now is Facebook has to get users to agree to share their browsing habits with advertisers. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Tuesday, April 20th at Marketplace.org. General Motors will reportedly make an early repayment today on bailout money it got from the federal government. And here to talk about it is Marketplace's Gregory Warner. Morning, Gregory.
Good morning, Bill.
So what is GM paying back?
GM is paying $4.7 billion to the U.S. Treasury, also $1 billion to the Canadian government. And this is the last of the cash that they got from the federal bailout. The rest of the bailout, which was $50 billion, went to buying shares in the company. So even with this repayment, taxpayers still own most of GM.
Right. Okay, and where is this payback money coming from?
Well, sales figures have been pretty good at GM, and Toyota's misfortunes have also helped American car companies. GM says they'll post a profit this year. I talked to David Bailey of Coventry University Business School. He says GM wants to repay this money as soon as possible, shed the stigma of the bailout, and give people confidence in buying cars. A car is a long-term investment.
There's nothing worse than thinking, this company might be in financial difficulty. Will I be able to get it serviced and get the parts in 3 years' time?
The White House has also pushed for early repayment. President Obama said this month that GM's financial upswing shows the bailout was, quote, the right thing to do.
And does this payment show that, the bailout was for GM was a success?
I mean, from the perspective of GM, yes. If you think where we were last year at this time, GM was closing dealerships, talking about shutting down their European operations. Now they've stayed global and reopened many of those dealerships. On the other hand, this repayment is only the first step. As we said, taxpayers still own most of the shares of the company, and those shares still don't have any value yet because GM hasn't gone public. So then we'll see what those stocks sell for, and that won't happen until next year at least.
Marketplace's Gregory Warner. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
More flights are taking off in Europe this morning as the cloud of volcanic ash from Iceland becomes less of a threat. But now the question of who pays looms on the horizon. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The skies are now open over Scotland, Belgium, the Netherlands and Sweden. Other countries like France and Germany are planning a phased reopening later today. But the London airports remain closed. Another cloud of ash is said to be headed towards England. The cost to the airlines has been stratospheric, $1.5 billion, according to Giovanni Bisignani, head of the main aviation trade body. He claims that closing a wide swathe of North European airspace was an overreaction, based purely on computer modelling.
Europe was using a theoretical mathematical approach. That is not what we need. We needed some tests. We needed some test flights, go in the atmosphere, assess the level of ashes and take decisions.
11 British airlines have now demanded compensation from the UK government. Lawyers forecast a raft of lawsuits from airlines and companies that depend on air travel to move their goods. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
If you're in the market for a new car, you have a new option. Nissan begins taking orders today for its new all-electric vehicle called the Leaf. This could be the beginning of a new era for electric vehicles, but as Marketplace's Elisa Roth tells us, there could also be a few roadblocks.
The Nissan Leaf doesn't look like some space-age vision of the future. Philip Reed is an editor at the car buying list, Edmunds.com. He says it looks like any small four-door car.
It's the first time that we've been offered a vehicle which could fit into the practicality of the average American family.
He says the Leaf is the first electric car that's big enough and cheap enough to be used by a family. It'll end up costing a little more than $20,000, so it can compete against other compact cars like the Honda Civic. But it could still take a while before there's a Leaf in every driveway. Kelly Sims Gallagher is a professor of energy and environmental policy at Tufts University. She says Nissan's up against two big challenges.
Do we have the appropriate infrastructure for charging and grid, and are consumers willing to make these changes in their behavior?
The Leaf can only drive 100 miles before it needs to be recharged, so drivers will have to figure out where they can plug in. Gallagher says cars like the Leaf could also put too much strain on old electricity grids. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
If you've been to the Grand Canyon, chances are you have passed through Tucson, Arizona. It's a little place, just 500 people. So why did Italian investors just spend a bundle trying to influence a local election? Reporter Claudine LaMonaco went there to find out.
Tucson is a half-mile strip of highway lined by hotels nestled in ponderosa pine forest. But it has one very big thing going for it. It's just a mile from the entrance to Grand Canyon National Park. Tourists spend millions of dollars every year on everything from helicopter tours to pancake breakfasts. Tucson's economy depends on that money, but some want to bring in even more.
Retail services, a sidewalk cafe, a piazza.
You heard right, a piazza. That's Thomas DiPaolo.
he represents a group of Italian developers who own a lot of land in the area. In years past, they've proposed building an outlet mall and a 5,000-room resort. While some worried the plan would commercialize the Grand Canyon, others worried about increased competition. Clorinda Vale owns the Red Feather Lodge.
Can that, you know, many more rooms come on the market in the area and not, you know, put hotels out of business?
10 years ago, Vale rallied voters in Coconino County to reject the plan, but the developers didn't give up. They launched a campaign to incorporate the community of Tucson as its own town, with its own town council. That way, they'd only have to persuade 5 council members to approve their plans, not an entire county. Here's one of the group's highly produced videos.
Tucson can do better.
We just need to believe in ourselves.
My dream for Tucson? A town that's strong and independent.
The Italian developers spent more than $300,000 to persuade about 200 voters, and they won. Last month, Tucson officially became Arizona's tiniest town. But the designation has been challenged. Those against have filed a lawsuit charging voter fraud. I'm Claudine LaMonaco for Marketplace.
New York City is bracing for a possible strike by doormen at midnight tonight. The door people would like a raise, but building owners are trying to cut benefits. And Marketplace's Jill Barchet says residents are caught in the middle.
Outside a posh co-op building on Madison Avenue, a doorman is hailing a cab. He's one of 30,000 union members who could walk out tonight. If that happens, many New York residents will have bigger headaches than just having to flag their own taxis.
Basic services like the removal of garbage or using a compactor chute to throw garbage down is closed, and residents now have to start handling that themselves.
That's Dan Wurzel. He's the president of Cooper Square Realty, the largest manager of apartment buildings in the city. He says the union threatening to strike covers not only doormen at fancy co-ops, but also janitors and handymen at ordinary apartment buildings. Wurzel says package delivery, renovations, even installing a new dishwasher could ground to a halt.
Buildings sort of shut down.
Doormen typically make only $40,000 a year, but they get free health insurance and a full pension. Cirilla Grujan mans the door at a fancy Upper East Side co-op.
People think that doormen, you know, are living the high life, but it's not really true. You know, we live check by check.
Apartment owners say each doorman costs $70,000 a year, including benefits. If that cost goes up, New Yorkers may have to pay even higher rents and monthly maintenance fees. I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
And finally, with that volcano shutting down European air traffic, how can we get our Norwegian salmon and Dutch orchids? Well, New Zealand says we got your fish and flowers right here. CNN reports New Zealand's fish farmers and flower exporters are scrambling to fill a surge in orders from a world cut off from Europe. They hope to capitalize on the boom caused by the boom. It's a boom boom, really. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.